Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Joining the show right now, though, is Odyssey NFL insider Michael Lombardi. Insider Call is presented by BetQL. Get access to data and insights the sports books don't want you to see. Bet smarter and beat the books. Download the BetQL app or visit BetQL.com today. You can also hear Michael on the GM Shuffle, his weekly podcast available on the Odyssey app.
I want to ask real quick, Mike Lombardi, great perspective on all levels of football. Who's the best high school football player you ever saw live? We were talking about that because Ted Ginn just retired, and we saw him here. We were blessed to see him, as we were blessed to see many in Northeast Ohio, and we're a little younger, so we said that Ted Ginn's one of the best. Who's the best you've ever seen?
Javid Best. My son was playing. I was working at the Raiders. My son was playing for St. Mary's. I think he played for Assumption. He gained 400 yards on the ground in the game. I don't think anybody was really ever going to tackle him. And then he caught another 150 in pass receptions. Like, they had 550 yards, and he was responsible for every single one of them.
Didn't he go to the Olympics?
The most remarkable performance I've ever seen.
I thought he did.
I thought he went to the Olympics in track and field.
Yeah, he was a legitimate sprinter, there's no doubt. I mean, there was nobody on that field that could even get near him. I mean, he was one of those players that uniforms never got dirty.
Yeah, that's amazing. By the way, you just re-jogged my memory. I saw Carlin Isles, who's the rugby player. I saw him at Ashland when I was doing play-by-play there. Michael Lombardi joining us here on the show. All right, Michael, when you hear system quarterback, what do you think?
Well, I think that's a little overblown term because I think, you know, to be a good quarterback, you have to bring something to the table, right? I mean, you have to have a unique skill set. You can call Joe Montana a system quarterback. He's in the Hall of Fame, but Joe's skills were developed within the system. Well, Bill Walsh used to say this all the time. Once we determine what the player can do, we'll then develop his skills within the system. That's what they've done with Baker Mayfield. It's a little unfair to say he's just a system player, but the system enhances his talent, there's no doubt.
Well, Mike, that's the question about Baker that comes up, because he's had these unbelievably high moments, and he had a really bad season and then some other bad moments with some obviously tenuous coaching situations before. Now it looks like he has a great offensive line, great running back tandem, some pretty darn good wide receivers, and really good coaching. So is there any reason to believe that his trajectory is not going to be one that we're all going to be excited about?
No, I think, look, it's the perfect marriage, right? I've said this before Kevin got there. Baker needs to be under center more. Baker's not an RPO quarterback. Just because in college he was in shotgun all the time didn't make him a shotgun player. He's barely 6 feet tall. Short quarterbacks need to be under center because it separates the defense off play action. They can see clearer. When they're in shotgun all the time and people rush inside out on them, they can't see where they're throwing the ball. One of the things Baker used to say all the time walking off the field at Oklahoma was, "I didn't see you. I didn't see you." He can. He's short. But this offense compensates for it. It allows him to separate. How many open throws did Baker make last year? The guy's wide open. Just think of the Tennessee game or the Pittsburgh game. He made the throws, but it allowed him to see it. And I think that's really what it is. The problem is doing the contract, right? Is what does – you've got to give a little bit to get a little bit, right? So Baker can't sit there and say, "Look, I can play in any system. I'm Aaron Rodgers. I'll dominate no matter what." That's not the case. But he enhances what they do, so that's worth something.
Well, that was the next question I was going to ask, is how do you navigate those waters in that conversation? Do you think Baker is willing to bet on himself or wait, or do you think the Browns would be more willing to make him an offer here over the next couple of weeks and seal this up?
I think what the Browns have to do is say, "Look, Baker, if you want to eat all the stuff, if you want to dominate the buffet line, go ahead. We won't have a good team. That offensive line will fall apart in a hurry. You know, you want to be Kirk Cousins and have all the money? you know, that doesn't work. We've seen it. You know, Peyton Manning won 2 Super Bowls, one with the Colts. That's all he did. You know, if you won all of it, Brady's won 6, 7 because he hasn't dominated. You've got to make a decision. What's more important? You know, you make $30 million or do you want to make 40? I know $10 million a year is a significant amount of money, but you've got to decide because we're in a cap era, and you've got to make a little sacrifices just like we'll make sacrifices.
Mike Lombardi, join us on the hotline. What can Baker do? Now it's been the offseason, and he's at his camp Baker, like many of these good quarterbacks do nowadays. What can he do to get better?
Well, I think he just keeps developing his skills within the system. I think just being smart about understanding the defenses. I think this year he'll walk in and know how people want to try to play him. I think he'll understand it. I think the checks at the line get him in the right play. Part of the job of a quarterback is to get you in the right play, to make sure you check out of a bad play. And you don't go to nobody goes to the line of scrimmage with one play. That's high schools don't even do that anymore. He's got to, we're going to check to this. If it's here, we're going that. And I think just being smarter and playing faster, right? I think the more you play, the faster you play. And that makes you more effective. And I think that's ultimately what he'll do.
What are the challenges to Kevin Stefanski in year 2?
Complacency, right? Expectations. It's the hardest job of any coach is managing expectations. He's got to go into camp and start at ground zero. If they start talking about beating Pittsburgh at training camp, you've got a problem with your team. This is about starting over. This is about climbing the mountain. This is about getting to where we want to go, and it starts with hard work. You know, I wrote this for the Daily Coach today. Cassius Marsh was complaining about the Patriots' inability to – winning wasn't fun up there. Well, winning is fun, but you got to work hard at it. Maybe working hard's not fun, but winning is.
Michael Lombardi joining us on the show. Well, does that mean that maybe 2019 – will help the 2021 Cleveland Browns because it was just such a disaster for them, and a lot of these guys are still on that team?
I think it will. I mean, experience helps, right? There's no doubt. Experience helps tremendously, and I think that that's going to play into account. But, you know, it starts with Kevin. It starts with Kevin's leadership. It starts with Andrew Berry. It starts with managing expectations. Look, we haven't done anything yet. I mean, we won a playoff game, right? We haven't done anything. We got to come back and we got to work hard. I mean, that's how the Patriots have been able to win as many titles as they have. That's why Brady, if you spent 5 minutes around Tom Brady, you would think he's never won a game in his life the way he works. You've got to be able to pass that on. That's the beauty of it. There's no mantles in Belichick's living room for trophies, neither in Brady's. And that's the mentality you got to have for your team.
What did we learn from last year? The COVID obvious issues that every team had to face and those limitations with camp and preseason. What did we learn from all of that? And what are these teams, what are the smart teams going to use going forward?
They're going to go back to fundamentals. They're going to go back to the basics. I mean, that's what we missed. A team like New England, who relies on player development, who relies on being able to play well, you know, develop talent from within. When you don't have an off season, when you don't have training camp, you can't do that as well. You lose a little bit. So you've got to go back to fundamentals and basic. Look, football's a game of pad level. Football's not real complicated. It's who plays with their best pad level, who plays most physical will win. When you don't practice physicality and you don't practice pad level, you're not going to win very many games.
Now, the Browns front office wanted to address defense. They were a defense last year that could not get off the field on third down. It's a defense that, you know, when they needed it, couldn't stop Chad Henne. Well, they have 9 new starters potentially on the defensive side of the ball. Some big names. We know about Myles Garrett, but now they have Tack McKinley, Jadeveon Clowney, who have kind of been disappointments, but can they help this defense? What kind of expectations should we have for this defense?
Well, I mean, Clowney's got to stay healthy. I mean, he's, you know, on paper, Clowney always looks great. On the field, it's not the case. I mean, Tennessee signed him that huge deal last year, and he let him down because he can't stay healthy. He's got degenerate knee issues that he's going to have to manage, and he's going to have to reach to the level to where he can play with it. It's not going to be easy. It's not. They've got to hope they can keep him fresh because, remember, what you start like in September doesn't matter. How you finish in December matters, and he's got to be healthy in December and January. Not so much rushing the passer against Kansas City in the opening game. It's going to be more important how he rushes the passer in the playoff games.
Does the fact that there are now 18 weeks and 17 games, does that change anything? Do you think the more weeks that these teams end up having to sign up for with the CBA long-term, do you think we're going to start seeing some players maybe sit some more games out if they're a little iffy?
No, I don't. I think it's a mathematical issue, right? So let's say Kareem Hunt played 1,020 plays last year in a 16-game season. In a 17-game season, Kareem Hunt's going to play 1,020 plays. That's what it's going to be. Everybody's caught up in the number of games. It's ridiculous. It's the most stupid thing of all. It's how many plays does the player play during the year? And you're going to have to work that out. That's Kevin Stefanski's job. He's got to say, look, Chubb played 950 plays. We're going to keep him at 950. No matter how many games we play, we got to rotate players through. So maybe we don't play him as much in the first quarter. Maybe we play him a little bit more in the second. That's the job. It's plays, not games.
How does Odell fit into this system and not the other way around like it's been basically his whole career?
Well, I mean, look, it's a receiver-friendly system. I mean, the play-action pass, the ability of Chubb and Hunt to run the football, the offensive line's ability to run block. I mean, all he's got to do is just really be the best version of himself he can be and get open. And then on third down, when he gets one-on-one matchups, he's got to win them because we got to convert third downs. I mean, that's ultimately what he's got to do.
All right, let's turn our focus to the rest of the AFC North. How do you size up this division, knowing what all these teams have done in the offseason?
Well, I mean, I think Pittsburgh's the interesting team. Mike Tomlin's never really had a losing season. I mean, it's never fallen off, even when they had to play Mason Rudolph. So, you know, but I don't like their team this year. I think Big Ben, when you watch him last year and you understand what happened during the year, he didn't throw the ball down the field. He wasn't able to make plays down the field. You know, the last seven games of the season when they weren't winning after they lost the first game, Ben couldn't throw it down the field. You know, we always put on the TV, they couldn't wait to throw it up there. Next-gen stats, Ben Roethlisberger gets rid of the ball and in the record 1.9 seconds. Well, that's great. The receivers weren't ready to catch it. You know, he was getting rid of the ball. He didn't want to get hit. So I think Pittsburgh losing Bud Dupree, the uncertainty at quarterback, their offensive line's uncertainty makes me really think they're not the same team as last year. Baltimore's going to be good. I mean, Baltimore's going to be good. Their defense will be just as good. And they've got to figure out a way to get Lamar Jackson to throw the ball down the field in the deep third part of the field. If he can do that, they're going to be a hard out. Cincinnati, look, I love Joe Burrow. But if they don't want to protect him, he's going to get hurt again.
What you said about Baltimore there is interesting because, I mean, you know way more about this stuff than I do. But I sometimes wonder if you're the Ravens, don't you just need Lamar Jackson to be superhuman, superman, the type of stuff you see earlier in the season? Don't you just need him to do that and not worry about his health in the postseason at this point?
I think you got to get him under center. I think we're going to see a change in offense philosophy this year in the NFL. I think you'll see more quarterbacks under center, partly because of what happened with Baker Mayfield. I mean, Lamar Jackson at Louisville was under center a little bit more than you think. And the reason he averages less than 6 yards throwing the ball to his left down the field and slightly above six throwing the ball to his right is because he's trying to fit the ball into tight spots. If you gave him some of those easy throws that Baker has, he'll be sensational in the passing game. So I think they've got to modify their offense in the passing game. They've got to be more reliant on play action. And the only way you do that is get under center, fake the handoff, drop back, separate the defense, and throw it down the field. I think that's what you're going to see out of Baltimore this year. They have to, or else Greg Roman's going to lose his job.
Two more in the general NFL. Will Deshaun Watson play for a team this season?
I don't think so. I mean, how does he? I mean, I don't know enough about the case, but the reason, by him holding out, him not coming, does Houston a huge favor. I mean, if he shows up and forces their hand and forces the NFL's hand to take action, some way or not, it becomes problematic. By him sitting out is the dumbest thing of all time. He's getting bad advice. Get into camp. Go earn your money. Go see what the league wants to do with you.
Final one from me. Aaron Rodgers, where does he start the season? Where does he finish the season?
Look, we're not the NBA, right? This ain't the Cavs and the Lakers and all that. Players negotiated with the union. The union negotiated for them. They don't want holdouts. They don't want players demanding trades. Aaron Rodgers, in spite of what the worldwide leader might have you to believe, has no options. He retires. He writes a check for $33 million. If he doesn't retire, he plays for the Packers. What's complicated about this? If he's unhappy and he doesn't want to play, it's called retirement. And then he writes a check back for $33 million to the Packers. If he wants to play football, get your Packer uniform arm and get out there.
This is great stuff. Michael Lombardi on the hotline at M. Lombardi NFL. Michael, we thank you very much for the time, friend. All the best.
Thank you, guys. Bye-bye.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe.
Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.